right now. We got somebody, I never talked to Dan. Last night he and I were texting back and forth. He's got some information he wants to put out. I think it's pretty interesting. Gave us some airtime. So let's talk about that. Dan Cirillo, what's up, my man?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's been better, but it's been worse, man. I'm enjoying myself today. How about yourself? Where are you calling from?
Calling from Sumner, Washington. I'm sitting in a coach's certification all day.
A coach's certificate. Hey, yeah, I was reading some of your some of the stuff you sent last night. I completely lost it, to be honest with you. But you've got some of your own notoriety going on. Before we get into the topic, I think it's pretty interesting. Well, you wrote a book. You had a program, training program, right?
Yeah, I've been I've owned a gym for about 10 years now, and I've developed some elite athlete training programs for NFL athletes, and then mostly youth athletes. I've been training a lot of kids and getting them scholarships, etc.
Very cool. And your background, I always ask people this when they come on the show, what's your fascination with the warfighter community? You got some background to you.
Yeah, I was a frogman for almost 15 years, and then I got out, did some government work, and then I got hired by Paul Allen up here in Seattle, Washington, to be part of his executive protection detail. And since then, I've been working for some high-net-worth families until I got my business up to where it makes me a living.
Very good, very good. Well, welcome to the show, brother. We appreciate what you're doing, and we appreciate your service. Last night, we were kind of chatting back and forth, and I was like, hey, can you pimp this out? Because this is important stuff here, man, and we kind of want to throw it around. So let's get to the subject.
Okay, yeah. So I was asked by my buddy Brad, who works for Donald Trump, to find out some worthwhile charities that Donald could get his the people that he are in his social circle and financial circles to help out with. And so I went to the community of guys that I know and just gathered as much information as I could about charities that I feel and that we feel actually give money to guys that we can look at and go, these guys actually give money to the people who deserve it. Most of the, I think I'm 90% of the charities that I recommended are all, every single person is unpaid,
mm-hmm.
which is what I believe in, because if you're going to work for charity, you shouldn't be making, $500,000 a year, or millions of dollars a year that are raised for people for charitable donations. I just think that's wrong. And so, Mr. Trump, would donated, $5-6 million to the charities that we suggested. And, it's just awesome. It's awesome that somebody is looking out for some of these smaller charities that people don't know about, and they actually do a lot of good work for a lot of good people.
And the controversy around this last week was that, Trump was going to do this this fundraising thing, and they all the money was going to go to his own organization. And I heard the media got it all wrong. And like, no. He's got a whole list of people that he's going to give money to. It's going to be a significant contribution. So we're kind of trying to set the record straight here. On what was put out. So tell me about some of these organizations and how much money are we talking about?
So the night of the fundraiser, they raised $5 million, but since then they've raised another million to $6 million. And, the organizations, a couple examples, the Disabled American Veterans, of course, the Fisher House Foundation.
Very nice.
Honorary American Warriors, Hope for the Warriors, K-9 for Warriors, Navy SEAL Foundation, which is what I support. All the way down to Task Force Dagger Foundation, which probably nobody's ever heard about.
Hold up. You're obviously not a listener to the show. You just outed yourself,
oh,
bro.
Sorry about that.
No, check this out. Task Force Dagger. I'm totally messing with you. Task Force Dagger, Jeff, know him real well. He comes on the show about once a month. Great organization. Love Task Force Dagger. Most people in America don't know. The warfighter community knows.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we got to get that out to the rest of the world, because what Task Force Dagger, what they're – I like how they do things, man. I just like how they do things. They have a very holistic approach to things, and they got guys out there doing stuff. I mean, I forgot the guy's name, but Voyage 360, he's out there rowing a boat around the world. You hear me, America? The dude is rowing a boat around the world. It's supposed to take like 16, 18 months. He's rowing a boat around the world. I'm talking about the planet Earth. You understand? A rowboat, planet Earth. And he's doing that to bring attention to things. And he's with Task Force Dagger. Amazing stuff, Task Force Dagger. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yes, sir, definitely.
So is there anybody else on that list?
Yeah, one of the ones that's important to me is the 22 Kill Foundation. They're in Dallas, Texas. And, obviously it's been reported a lot how many guys are coming home and, the brains aren't quite right, and they're taking methods that are harming themselves and their family, and some of those guys resulting, in suicides. And, it's one of those things where it's what people don't understand is when you're in combat, you don't really understand the stress. you are completely in your element, especially if you're a professional warfighter like myself, and many of us are. You know, you go to war many, many times. You become used to war. The first time it's traumatic, but after that, it's just a job. You know, and you learn to deal with what you see and the things you see, et cetera. But it's when you come home that all of a sudden, if you are immediately removed from that environment, you're around people who don't really understand. They want to hear your story for about 5 minutes, and then, hey, moving on, they got their own issues, right? And it's really hard to find your buddies. Your buddies are separated around the country, and those guys, you know, get really depressed. And, you know, they resort to drugs and alcohol sometimes in worst cases. And, you know, they end up taking some of their own lives. And it's something that's important to – we're trying to raise awareness for those things to get guys, you know, back into society, assimilating society. You know, and I speak from experience. You know, I got out of the military. I was lucky enough to be kind of gradually transitioned out into leaving the military into another warfighter-type job, into security – into et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I had alcohol problems. I gained a significant amount of weight, et cetera. And what I found was I had to completely stop drinking alcohol, and I had to work out every single day to make myself feel like I was back doing the job that I loved. And what's funny is it took me to do an Ironman to actually feel like I was back at work. And I did the Coeur d'Alene Ironman, and the Coeur d'Alene Ironman to me was just work. It was just another op that I was on, an insertion. And it was that greatest time of my life. I literally, the training for it was incredible. You know, 8 hours a day of just complete solitude, of just thinking about my buddies and feeling like, feeling inspired again. And what I like to pen is, you know, I worked for a company up till about a week ago. And what I always told the clients that I served was, be in awe of yourself on a daily basis. Do something on a daily basis that is awe-inspiring to yourself. And so I've really had to take that mantra and kind of spread that word, but that's kind of the message that a lot of us that do this charitable work are trying to spread.
Right.
Get these guys to understand you're a tremendous human being. You've accomplished tremendous things. Be happy with that. Stop thinking about the war. Stop thinking about those times, because yeah, for some of us it was a very tumultuous time, but it was also a good time. Not the fighting part, but being around the guys. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part that some of these guys are having, is the separation and being able to be around people who are like-minded. And really what it comes down to is being around people who will tell you how it is.
Right.
And that's a really difficult thing because, you know, I've had my alcohol issues, and I've had to have friends really set me straight and be like, hey, dude, you're messing up right now. Knock it off.
It was, you know, a pho. Hang on. I got Sean, it was a pho. It was not a other word.
Sorry,
yeah, I FCC. I got to pay somebody $10,000 every time somebody uses warfighter language. So Sean hits the button. But no, I agree. You got to have a battle buddy and a mission, and a battle buddy with what comes with that is someone who's very honest and blunt and straight with you. And I think you don't get that. You just don't get that in the civilian world. It's like they don't have time for it. But in the warfighter community, it's like, hey, your stuff is my stuff. Let's get that stuff squared away.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the bad part about the civilian community.
And we just got about 1 minute, and I'm going to bring you back after break because this is a good conversation, but please continue.
The one thing about the civilian community is people are in fear of you, and people are always like, oh, man, I'm scared of you. I'm scared to say that. Why? You know, just because I have this training doesn't make me some barbaric, you know, knuckle-dragging idiot. I'm a human being, and if I'm doing something wrong, I want to be critiqued. I want to be told how to improve myself. You know,
exactly.
And a lot of people are very hesitant to do that.
Yeah, don't both smoke up my ass. Tipping Point Boone Cutler, we will be right back with Dan because he's got a good conversation going. I want to keep it rocking. Stand by. We'll be right back. Thank you. Tipping Point Boone Cutler. We got Dan Cirillo on the line right now. Good conversation right now. It kind of morphed a little bit, but I'm digging his message, and he's got a good message. He's got a great rap, so I want to just exploit the hell out of that. Dan, let's talk more about this. I always say you got to have a battle buddy and a mission. That basically means you got to have a good friend, and you got to have something to do. You got to have something in front of you, and you got to have somebody next to you watching your back while you're doing it. And watching your back means being honest, being truthful, being straight with you. You disagree or agree?
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. You know, as much as people don't want to hear it, every single person, every one of us needs to be kept in check. You know, in the military, it's very easy. You know, you mess up, you're going to have some guy who's going to pull you aside and be like, hey, bro, knock it off. You know, and if you don't listen the first time, then you're going to be dealt with.
Yeah.
If you listen the third time, you're going to get some paperwork, and that's probably going to be the end of your career because you didn't listen the first two times. You don't get that in civilian life. In civilian life, you just get the paperwork, or you get shunned, or people just end up, you know, ignoring you, et cetera. And nobody ever wants to just say, hey, man, what you said right now bothered me, or hey, what you did the other day upset me, or hey, what you're doing is hurting other people. People are scared to do that, and it's shameful, you know?
You know, I got a guy, I got a friend of mine, a pretty good friend of mine. We were working this gig, and we were talking to this guy, and it didn't really go well. It didn't go well at all. And I pulled him aside, and I said, this was like weeks later or whatever, and I said, hey, listen, you know, remember that situation? Wasn't cool, man. Just wasn't cool. It should have gone this way. It shouldn't have gone that way. And these are the reasons for that. And this is what I think. The dude looked at me and he said, nobody ever talks to me this way. And I thought that was a beautiful thing because you got to be straight. I mean, people you're going to be around, you got to be honest with. And if you can't be honest with them, they can't be honest with you. Why the hell would you hang out with them?
No, exactly. You know, and I have a good friend of mine named Chris Presley. He's a former Colorado police officer, and we've worked a lot of security together. And you would think a guy like that would be intimidated to tell a SEAL, you know, how it is. We were working a detail one time, and, you know, and he kind of took over, and I got upset about it. And later on, I'm like, hey, bro, what was up with that? He goes, dude, sometimes you're a bull in a china shop. He's like, I saved you from yourself. And at the time, I was upset. But about an hour later, I came up to him, like, you know what, bro, thank you. I didn't know that, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's really interesting you're talking because there's a certain tone that we use when we say bro or brother. That means shut your mouth and listen. I'm about to help you out, and this isn't going to be easy on you or me, but it's going to get done.
Yeah.
It's truth. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Yeah, if I get a guy, and the other thing is, I can't stand when somebody calls me bro, and I know they don't look at me like a bro. It's an insult, you know? It's like, hey, bro, and I'm like, don't even try it, dude. I'll stick your head right up your ass. But when you have, and you usually have that connection when you're in the military, you give that grace, you give that, you know, you just have a different respect for each other because you know you're going to get the straight dope.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's the thing with all these charities, you know, that I think every one of them is trying to give a mission, but I think my focus is to find those charities that are trying to get veterans back to work, because one thing that you learn in the military is that you need to give outside yourself. You know, I think the majority of guys, I'd say, you know, 90% of the guys feel that way, is that you're there to give more than you receive.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the message, you know, the Christmas message, obviously. But what happens is guys get out and they don't have anything to give. There's just nothing. They don't understand that there's stuff that they can do because, you know.
And don't know where to give it. Don't know where to give it.
They don't know where to give it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like for me, I coach youth football. That's a great way for me. And, you know, I own a CrossFit gym, so I get to coach kids every single day. But at the same time, I always have to give myself something to do or else I get in the funk. You know, I get the funk and I get angry and I get upset.
Yeah.
And luckily I have a great wife who's like, hey, dude, what's the next thing you're doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you're not acting the way you need to act. You're being a jerk. You've got to find something to do. And it snaps me back into place, and I go, okay, I'm going to do, you know, the Bataan Death March, and I'm going to try to raise $20,000 for charity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do the Tampa Bay Frogman Swim, and I'm going to try to raise $10,000. So I find those things that basically keep me going, you know?
Yeah, you got to have something to push against. When I look at the situation, and tell me if it's the same for you, again, when you're in the military, they give you – I mean, your job is to fulfill the mission. When you get out of the military, it's a little bit rough trying to identify a mission. That's the hardest part, is identifying your – finding your niche. Do you agree?
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with that. And you know, what's funny is the hardest part about being outside the military is that people, your coworkers, don't share the mission.
No.
Right?
They want the paycheck and a clock the hours, right.
Well, they want the paycheck, coffee hours, and they also want to find a way to make themselves look better than you or – find a way to make you do something wrong. And I don't think they do it intentionally, but what they do is they don't do what they can do to make you help you. And I work for a company here in Seattle, great big company. I mean, massive, incredibly wealthy company. And I can name the number of people there that would actually bend over backward to help me on one hand.
And that's not help you like outshine them. That's just help you do your job to accomplish the mission for the business, right?
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
you know, and in America now we've lost interpersonal relations. People don't know how to talk anymore. They text each other, they email each other. It's like, dude, pick the phone up and call. Talk to people, you know?
People text you. This is what I find about texting. They text as if they are a liability resistant. People will think about a text and say, what is the perfect text I could send in case this ends up in court? And you're talking about, hey, what do you want from Taco Bell? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we have gotten so litigious that literally when someone sends a text, it's if they're writing a legal document.
Yes.
It's crazy. And look, I got an attorney here going, yeah, I see that. Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're going a little too far there.
Am I going too far?
A little bit. No. I think every text is litigious.
Every text is litigious.
I'm going to have to look that word up.
Litigious. The prima facie evidence would be so on and so forth. Okay, cool. Okay, we agree. Thanks for coming on the show, bro. Give a plug for some of the stuff you got going on, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. So I got two things going on. I own CrossFit Bellevue here in Bellevue, Washington. We specialize in training athletes, CrossFit gym, obviously, but I specialize in kids. I'm actually writing a book on how to train youth athletes because there's just so many fallacies out there.
Wow. And then that's brilliant. I've never seen that. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I'm opening my second company. I used to own a company called Turning Steel, which is Ultimate Steel Adventure. I sold it. I'm opening another company. It's called Leapfrogs, the Ultimate Steel Adventure. And what I like to do is take, you know, regular people and just turn it into a video game. You know, everybody wants to train people to be war fighters, but let's face it, that takes years. People want to have fun. I'm the guy who's going to do that for them in an adventure showcase. And, you know, if they retain some of the knowledge I give them, great. But it's, you know, I have a lot of fun with it, and that's my new company that I'm getting ready to start building. So,
very cool, brother. You got a website we can kick out for you?
Actually, it's been development right now, so you just send them to CrossFitBellevue.com.
CrossFitBellevue.com. Go check it out. Great guest. I want you back on the show sometime. I like your rap. I like what you got going. I want to know about your books. I want to know about training kids. Everybody, this is Dan Cirillo on the show today. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a great day.
Hey, we'll talk again soon. All the way. Out here.
Bye-bye.
Outstanding. That was a good guest. What do you think, Sean?
Good guy. A lot of energy.
Good energy, man. Positive dude. Mm-hmm. Positive dude. Tells it like it is. Not offensive. Not a break. Oh, my gosh.
Great ideas.
Wish I could be that guy.
Great ideas.